Well, I didn't even get the date. I think today's the 9th.
10th.
10th, thank you. Boy, it's good to have a good congregation, help a little preacher. But we actually finished up Proverbs chapter 9 last week. And this week, there's a lot of nuggets in the Bible. And this week, on the internet, slinging a little mud, having a discussion about some things. And I have to admit, just going back to this verse, I realize how important that this verse is. So I want to back up to Proverbs chapter 8. And I just want to read this one verse. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 29. When he gave to the sea his decree that the waves should not pass, his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. I want to use this Sunday school lesson as an opportunity to shed light upon the fake news of global warming, climate change, and all that bunch of junk that they're trying to sell like snake oil. Well, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you that you not only gave your word, but Lord, you allowed us to have it. We thank you, Father, for it. And Lord, it tells excellent things in counsels and in knowledge. Lord, we're thankful, Father, that there's enough of the word of God that any lost soul could find salvation. Lord, it's like a map to Calvary. Woo. It's like a light to heaven. Thank you for your precious word of God. Lord, I pray you'll open your word to us this morning. Let the world chase after the things of the world. But Father, let us, I pray, be found, Lord, a painting after you like the hart after the brook. Let us be found following you, Lord, I pray, in your precious footsteps. Let us be known, I pray, to be seeking you. Lord, until we arrive with you, Lord, in that great meeting in the air, may we, I pray, be found following faithfully. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know what the title is, Sunday school lesson, but let me just say this real quick. Young lady, her name is AOC. Her real name is actually Alexander Ocasio-Cortez. She says we've only got 12 years left to save the planet. And by the way, we couldn't save a grasshopper.
That's right.
Much less this planet. But this fear-mongering works on society. And even youth, they're afraid of this statement of how much time they've got left. And it's pandemonium, it's panic, it's nonsense to entertain this, but this society, they're not trusting in God. They don't know Him, and to them, this sounds credible. Mm-hmm. Now, looking at a little bit of this information on the internet, it showed 40 photos how glaciers are disappearing around the world. Now, this is to incite fear and to cause worldwide panic. I've got three people, four counting me, here this morning in Sunday school, so I'm going to ask just a random question. Glaciers are melting, they say. My question is, when did they start? And if you got a comment, you can make it right now.
From the beginning, that's what raises us, the ocean up and down.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to tell you where they started melting. Right after the flood of Noah's day, and I'll prove that here in a minute.
Sure.
And the world, the Bible said the world by wisdom, they knew not God. And, you know, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. He winks at it, and He commands men to repent, Acts 17, 30 says, men may not repent, but they do well to. But this melt of this glaciers, they use that as some kind of a picturistic way to promote this global warming nonsense, this climate change lie from hell. But let's just say that they did start. Well, if they did start, why is there a problem? I'm going somewhere with this, so just bear with me here just a minute. And if there is a problem, what can we do about it? You see what I mean? I just want to show the helplessness of mankind and the greatness of God. Genesis chapter 7, verse 19 through 24, and I will read that. It talks about the flood of Noah's day. And the reason I said this started there, I'll go there here in just a second. This is a roundabout Sunday school lesson. But I thought about the panic of this world, about the money they're wasting. I mean, Al Gore made $800 million on an inconvenient truth about global warming. He lives in square footage of his home, flies in jets, and he's got about 5 homes, by the way, and drives big old SUV, and they're always talking about the carbon footprint and all that stuff. But anyway, we're going to go with facts here. Genesis chapter 7, verse 19, this is talking about the flood of Noah's day. We'll go up to verse 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift above the earth, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went up on the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. How many hills were covered?
All of them.
Thank you, Brother Ed.
All of them.
15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Did the mountains get covered?
Yes.
Yep.
15 cubits upward. That means no dry land showing nowhere.
Right.
And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl. They didn't find no place to rest their foot. They can't fly forever. They fly, stop, rest, fly more. Both of fowl, of cattle. Cattle, they might be able to swim, but they can't swim forever.
Right.
Of beast and of every creeping thing. I saw a snake on the side of the road coming here this morning, right there at the overpass of I-65, and I was sitting there thinking about turning back around, running over, but it looked like it was froze. But anyway, they're cold-blooded. Anyway, let's get on this. Every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died.
Right.
And every living substance was destroyed. That means trees, grass, all of the things growing up on the earth besides what could breathe in their nostrils. Every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping thing, and the fowl of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Now, the earth is completely flooded.
Right.
Does anyone know the average temperature of the North Pole?
Oh, it's cold. I don't know. Lord.
It's 32 degrees in the summer, which allows it to melt some.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's minus 18 in the winter.
I'm not cold.
Does anybody know the temperature, the average temperature of the South Pole? It's minus 40 in the summer. It's minus 76 degrees in the winter. Here's why I'm saying that. Earth's flipped. Where did glaciers come from? Are you getting this?
Yeah.
So you got this temperature at the North Pole and the South Pole. It's completely flooded. Everything's underwater. And all of a sudden you got this temperature, not the equator, but of the North Pole and the South Pole, here's all this water. Next thing you know, it's froze. The waters recede. Frozen water doesn't recede.
No, that's right.
It melts. A man sees that and says, global warming. What are we going to do? Let's send tons of money. Let's do like Al Gore. Make a nonsense out of this.
Yeah.
I said all of that for this reason right here. He gave the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment. Let's forget about the flood of Noah's day for a minute.
Okay.
Two-thirds of this earth is water, right?
Yes, it is.
Has anybody ever heard of high tide?
Yeah.
And low tide? Mm-hmm. Wonder why it just don't come on and cover the earth? I don't know if you're getting this or not, but God gave the sea his decree that the waters could come no further.
Right.
Low tide, somebody said, well, that's the moon. Why? Who put it up there?
God.
He set the order of everything. Well, let's go back to Genesis real quick.
Before you go, I got a question.
I want it.
and I've thought about this a lot, and I never got
I love participation.
I never got a true answer about it. But if you think about this earth that we live on, all the creeks, all the rivers, everything runs into the ocean.
Right.
But the ocean don't never run over.
True.
Why?
That's scripture too.
Yeah,
that's scripture. But I'm going back to Genesis. It'll give some like what Brother Ed just said about
okay.
that. Genesis, we're going to go Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse, I think we're going to start in verse 9. But let's go Genesis chapter 1. Now God's creating everything. And he said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together. Mm-hmm. At this point, the earth is solid water, no dry land.
Yeah.
God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together. I'm in Genesis 1 verse 9. Mm-hmm. Under one place. Now that's what I'm talking about the high tide and the low tide.
Yeah.
God told them waters, back up, buddy.
Right.
And let dry land appear, and it was so. Now that dry land appeared after God told that ocean to back up, buddy.
Yeah.
And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb bearing seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit of his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And look over here, I guess verse number 16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule in the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. That ain't the verse I'm looking for. I know it talks about the moon. So let's go real quick here to Psalms. Psalms 104, I believe, is what I'm looking for. I know it is. I've made a little note out here. With regard to what Brother Ed just said right there, we're going to have it all right here. We're going to start in Psalms 104, verse 9. Oh, I'm sorry. Psalms 104, verse 5. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed? How long?
Forever.
So much for all of New York being underwater and all of that. Yeah, I'm just telling you, you know, God has already declared what he's done, and we can see what he's done. And you know, we do well to give the most earnest heed. We don't, but we should. Verse 6, thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. the waters stood above the mountains. Now, that was in the beginning of creation, and that was also during Noah's flood. It says they go up by the mountains. Verse 7. At thy rebuke they fled, at thy voice, at the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. We just read that in the book of Genesis there, that he caused the dry land to recede, and it did. And I mean, the water receded and the dry land appeared. Look here, verse 8. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, the herb of the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. Look down at verse 19. He appointeth the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his goings down. And that really didn't say what I was looking for. I think the other scripture may be over here. But God waters the earth with rain. It goes to the rivers, returns to the sea, and if the sea's not full, it evaporates, comes back. It's a continual cycle to water the face of the earth. Wish I brought my concordance with me. Look at Psalms 33, verse 7. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And by the word of God, everything was made. He spake it right there, verse 9. Look at Job 38. We'll take a few short scriptures out of the Bible this morning. Then I'll go back to the topic. Job 38, verse 8 and 9. I'll tell you what, let's go all the way to verse 11. Job 38. Or who shut up the sea with the doors when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and the thick darkness swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decree place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shall thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud ways be stayed. You know, we build dams to hold back water, and they work pretty good as long as the dam doesn't break.
Right.
But God commanded the sea. He set the boundaries. He set the bars. And the sea, by His decree, comes no further.
Right.
Now all this pandemonium, all this political panic that's being piped into our media, and you're going to get the brunt of it. It's all about that little dollar sign right there.
That's right.
They're trying to sell this thing. Now, if you take God out, I agree, there is royal panic. But if you do accept what God said, and you do accept not only that He's over all of this, and everything's according to His Word, it is today and will be tomorrow and forever, you can sleep peacefully and not have panic. But the Lord, He done all of this for us. Who? Let me ask you this. Who walked on the water?
Jesus
did. God did.
Who said it?
God did.
I thought somebody said Peter did too.
Peter
walked. Yeah, both of them. Yeah, I was wondering if anybody remembered that Peter did also. It said and Peter walked on the water too, but Bonnie's right. He got to noticing the wind and the waves, and faith got to get a little weak on him there. Instead of trusting like he did when he stepped out of the boat, he got to sinking. But in Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 through 30, it talks about Jesus come walking to him on the sea. And I don't know why in the world Peter said what he did, but that's Peter for you. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. Leave a good boat and get out and walk on the water. Let's look at that real quick. Matthew chapter 14. I don't know if he really thought about what he said or not. But
he did actually look.
It says here in Matthew 14 verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night Jesus went unto them walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?
That's how I got saved. I said, Lord, save me.
Yeah.
I know where I'm headed.
Amen.
You know, when he said if, that showed right there he had his faith.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I hated that he said, if that's you,
yeah.
If that's you, bid me come to you on the water. But this verse of Proverbs chapter 8, verse 29, we kind of passed it up, I think, when we come through Proverbs chapter 8. But I really wanted to put some emphasis on that. When he gave to the sea his decree that the waves should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. I'm glad that he's before all things. I believe Colossians says that. He's before all things, and by him all things consist. We'll read that here in a second. Find this little book here. Before we read that verse 17 of Colossians chapter 1, we're going to back up here just a little bit. We'll read Colossians chapter 1 verse 14 talking about Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. I work with a man that's a Jehovah Witness. And I asked him, I said, what does Jehovah look like? He said, I don't know. I said, well, I'll tell you exactly what he looks like. He looks just like Jesus. And he don't really get that. But I said, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right.
And he said, God's a spirit. And no one has seen God at any time. And you know, the world, the best thing to read right here in this in this text of that right there is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Did you notice God was manifest in the flesh?
Yeah.
And Jesus, it says here, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And we're in verse 16 of Colossians chapter 1. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness dwell. Now, there's a whole lot more to Jesus than people will ever receive or want to know. But I tell you right now, this Bible's all about Him.
Amen.
And He's the reason we don't have to worry about 12 years left. We might not even have a year left.
We may not have a day left.
I'm just good to go. That's all I want to say. If the Lord saw fit to come today,
yeah.
I'm persuaded y'all be leaving with me, but we're making our exodus. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
I mean, let the devil balance the bills. I tell you right now, if that won't break his back, I don't know what will. let him make ends meet that is so far apart. Let him figure out how to pay every month, what to do and all that right there.
That's right.
I'm just glad, praise God, we're going to leave it all behind. I'm glad that God has made a way that we can escape the corruption of the world, that we not only can escape but make our exodus out of this man-made hell and go to the place God made for us to be. This is not God made the earth and put man upon it. And according to Isaiah chapter 45, God formed the earth to be inhabited and He put man upon it. And I know I got air to breathe. I've got just the right amount of gravity. I don't float away, and I'm not stuck to the ground. I've got just enough to hold me. And you know, my brakes on my car, they work because of gravity. If there wasn't no gravity, I'd put the brakes on, Sharon, and the car would just keep going.
Yeah.
But we got everything we need because God formed this earth to be inhabited. I've got water. I've got air. I've got food. I've got days. I've got years. As long as God allows it, the season time, the spring to break the ground, the plant, the harvest time, the winter time, which we're coming up on, according to what I've seen on the weather map this week, they're not going to be talking about global warming. They're going to be talking about the ice age, what it looked like. But the world, they want to try to put people in panic. They want to try to discredit what God has done.
Yes.
But you know what really got my attention? High tide
and low tide.
And low tide. I was thinking about that high tide, low tide thing. What makes the waves stop when they come from low tide back to high tide? See, me and my wife, her father passed away, and we went down to, I believe it was North Carolina, and we was really close to, is it Myrtle Beach?
Yes.
We was real close to Myrtle Beach. So we went down there. My wife had never seen the ocean. And we went down there and just so happened it was out of season. It was in the latter part of the year, about like right now. We got a room in I believe it was the Hilton Inn, right on the ocean. I mean, when you come out of the inn, you stepped on the sand shore. I mean, we was that close. And the waves, you could hear them roaring. And up there sleeping, you know. And I loved that, boy. I could sleep to that forever. But all night long, I could hear the waves roaring all night long. Wanting to come forward, and yet God told them they couldn't. But they're still coming, you know. And anyway, I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was low tide, and them waves was way out yonder. And my wife's out there walking. I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I love it." She had her nightgown on. She's out there walking barefooted out there at low tide, way out there from the normal. I guess you call it the shoreline. She's way out there walking. I said, "What are you doing?" And they had a balcony. I got on the balcony and I looked and I could see her way out there. "What are you doing?" She said, "I love it down here. I got to take her back down there." One more time anyway. But that low tide, high tide, man can't understand that. And man thinks somehow that New York's going to be underwater. And you know, California may do it. I don't know where they're living. If they don't burn to the ground, maybe it will. Maybe they'll fall into the ocean. I don't know. There's always been a kind of a rumor about earthquake one day breaking California off. That's the way things are going down there. I'm being inclined to kind of believe that.
Yeah, that's right.
But this global warming nonsense, I wanted to take this Sunday school lesson this morning to help people understand they ain't got a thing to fear about being flooded again. That's what that rainbow was all about.
That's right.
Well, when God gave a covenant to Noah, it was a rainbow.
Yes, it was.
And that rainbow that He put I got one verse I want to read for sure here. Well, I'm looking for it. He put that bow in the sky as a covenant. And I may be here right here where it's at. But look here at Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease.
That's good.
God here says, I'm going to make a covenant. I think it's in verse 11 of chapter 9. No, it's a covenant. There it is. Genesis 9:13. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud. Brother Ed talking about the rain. When I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the bow, talking about the rainbow, shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that's upon the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I've established between me and all flesh that's upon the earth. God said it's never going to flood again. Now we have little floods, but not destroying floods like this flood that just happened there in Noah's day. Well, all right, I'll stop off of this right here. I just wanted to kind of clear the air on that a little bit. I'm not done with the Sunday school lesson since that actually got done quicker than I thought it would. I was hoping there'd be more comment on that. You know that they're teaching these kids in school about climate change and carbon footprint and global warming and all of that. When do you realize those glaciers started from the flood of Noah's day, it makes sense. It don't make sense no other way. There is no other way that you could even have glaciers except by accepting the fact of the flood of Noah's day and the North Pole and the South Pole being frozen, and the waters, they do recede, but just a little bit every year. But how that got there was because of the flood of Noah's day. That's kind of a blessing to know, really.
It is.
That God has done all of this, and it all points to truth and reason that, you know, He done it, that we may stand in awe. Is that what I read here? Somewhere I read it, we might stand in awe. I believe it's in Psalms, that we might stand in awe. We don't, but that we could. Maybe as in Psalms 33. Let's see. Stand in awe. Wow. Let all the earth, Psalms 33 verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. No one but Him could do it. But He done it. He done it that men might know not only that He done it, but here man is trying to undermine God, saying, we got to do something to stop this global warming. They can't. We got to do something to stop this climate change. They can't. God set the order of every bit of this in the day of creation. Amen. Let's continue our Sunday school lesson in Proverbs chapter 10. We finished up Proverbs chapter 9. And Proverbs chapter 10 verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son, maketh a glad father. Boy, that says a lot, don't it? But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. I'm trying to think of this scripture. Talks about mischief bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction drive it far from him. And you know, we all had a little bit of foolishness when we was young and done everything backwards from what we should have did. I ain't going to try to look at verse up. But one way to have a wise son is to raise it up in church. That it knows there's a God. That it knows there's a heaven. That it knows there's a hell. That it knows there's mercy and grace and love towards that child. A wise son makes his father glad, and a foolish son makes his mother sad. And I know a lot of mothers have been brokenhearted because they couldn't do nothing. And a lot of sons have even killed their parents. But a lot of mothers have been brokenhearted because they couldn't get their son to go to church. They couldn't get him where he needed to be. And I've seen it myself. You have too. But it's a blessing when a young boy will receive instruction instead of saying, I'm not going. I'm ready. What time are we leaving? You know, cooperate and be willing to receive instruction. A wise son, it says here, makes his father glad, and a foolish son. A fool in the Scripture is never a mentally deficient person, but rather an arrogant, self-sufficient one who orders his life as if there were no God. And when you try to live a life apart from God, that's selfish.
Yeah.
And rebellion. When I think about rebellion, I think about that scripture. I believe it's Isaiah chapter 6. No, it ain't chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 30. I believe it is. It says, "Woe to the rebellious children." Isaiah chapter 30 verse 1. "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that taketh counsel but not of me." In other words, they want the wisdom of the world.
Right.
They don't want the wisdom of God. And look, they cover with a covering. They try to hide. And I could go a long ways with that.
Yeah.
"But not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." You see, since they won't let God be God, they try to hide their circumstances. And it's never going to be right till they get right. But that foolish son is a heaviness to his mother. Look at verse 2. "Treasures of wickedness profit nothing." You know, Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, I went way too far. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Boy, thank God I've got a few treasures in heaven. I got a mom and dad there. I got a daughter there. I got aunts and uncles there. I got cousins, nephews, and all kind of family there. And I'm looking forward to seeing those treasures again, Brenda. I'm glad, praise God, there's somewhere you can put your treasure.
That's right.
That the thief can't rob you of. Says, "Lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." My heart is inclined to heaven. And some people, I hate to say it, they're kind of like that rich young ruler. They just don't want to let go of the wealth of this world for the true riches of God. And they hold on to something that they can't hold on to. And I'm glad we've got some things we can hold on to. The Bible says, lay hold upon eternal life. I'm glad that's something I can hold on to.
Amen.
And it says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, verse 20. And Carolyn, I'm glad that's something I can hold on to. You're talking about a good bank. There might be some banks down here that may defraud you, but this bank won't.
That's right.
It says, no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know, that ain't actually the scripture I'm looking for. I'm looking for the one, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Hold on here a minute. My old Bible, I already had it highlighted. Probably even had it underlined. One thing about this Bible, I remember where it was on the page. It was on the left side down next to the bottom. That helps a bunch. But it may have been in one of the other Gospels. I know it's in Mark and in Matthew.
Now, I just said Matthew, but I've read that.
Yeah. Here you go. Mark chapter number 8. What? For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. And these treasures here, the treasures of the wicked profit nothing. Let's just say, we were talking about Michael Bloomberg, is that right, Brother Ed?
Yes.
He's thinking about running for president. Let's just say he's a multi-billionaire.
He is.
Okay, with him being a multi-billionaire, let's just say all of a sudden he came down with terminal cancer. How much money do you think he'd spend trying to stay alive?
All of it.
Right? See what I mean?
Yes, he would.
Now here I am. I don't have billions, Jerry. I don't have billions. I got a few bills that are small. Very few of them have got double numbers on them. Let's say three. But you know what? I've got the true treasures.
Yes.
True.
I don't need the billions. I don't need the headache of it. I wouldn't want Oprah's money for nothing. I wouldn't want Michael Bloomberg's money for nothing. But I'll tell you what, buddy, I'm glad I've got the true treasures. And you know, they're different than these treasures. These true treasures, let me, you know, I hate to go like this, but I need to really. Look in James chapter 5. It's amazing how this book fits together. James chapter 5. Go to now, ye rich man, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. That's James 5 verse 1. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered. And the rest of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. There's people right now building silos and bunkers and they got underground bomb shelters and food and rations and water and all kinds of things, trying to figure out some way to survive. I don't need none of that. I don't need none of that, Bonnie. I'm good to go. Let come what may. Amen.
That's right.
Look here. He said, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which of you kept back by fraud. You know what? There's a lot of fraud going on today. They started paying us bi-weekly instead of weekly. Someone explained to me the gain of that, and it's kind of sinister. By paying you bi-weekly, they're able to charge you more taxes.
Yeah.
They also hold back your money for 2 weeks. Hey, I come this world naked, and it's for certain I'm going to leave this world naked, but I'll tell you right now, these rich people, they figure out ways to fraud their workers. Look at that, Carolyn. By fraud they keep back the wages of their labors. He said, and since you keep it back, said they cry, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanting. You know, I ain't wanting nothing. I'm a different kind of rich.
That's right.
I'm rich in God. He owns it all. He said, you've lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanting. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doeth not resist you. I'm glad for a different kind of riches. Let me be attention here. The treasures of the wickedness profit nothing, but the righteousness delivereth. But righteousness delivereth from death. I'm only going to read one more verse here. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Just in that one verse, right there, you see that serving Jesus really pays.
Yeah.
It pays to live for God. It does. Just in that one verse, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. And he said, I've yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Yeah.
Do you see that? The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. He's always going to provide their needs out of his riches and glory. But he casteth away the substance of the wicked. They earn money to put it in a bag with holes in it. They can't even hold on to what they got.
Right.
We'll stop right there. I see some young children back in the back. It's a welcome sight.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I kind of wish they got here early. We'd have had a young Sunday school class this